right, advertiser time. So, first off, our OG sponsor, Sinister Jerky. Use code KINGDOM, that's KINGDOM, at checkout at www.sinisterjerky.com. Grab yourself a nice little discount. And also, this podcast is powered by Balls Garara. Grab life by the balls. And with that said, let's go on to the podcast. All right, welcome back to Castle Comps, episode 81. Today, we got a hell of a guest. Today, we got B-Horse. B-Horse, how you doing today?
Good, how are you?
You know, it's a beautiful day outside. The smell of gasoline's in the air, and the Fast and the Furious 10's going to theaters. So, pretty terrible.
Oh, man. You know, I've always wondered, like, when are they just going to let that whole franchise die, right?
Oh, I hope they all die. Like, the whole premise of this one is, like, Don can't save his whole family. Who's he gonna protect? I hope they just die, you know? I hope it's just something stupid. Like, it's at this point, like, what else are they gonna do? They've been to space. They're, like, I just don't get it. Are they gonna fight the Avengers? Is Godzilla gonna come out of nowhere? Are they gonna, like, all four of the cars gonna form a Mechazord and they're just gonna become the new Power Rangers? Like, I just don't see, like, how lacking must Hollywood be in ideas and thoughts if this is what they're putting out, you know?
Right.
So, speaking of Hollywood and bullshit, do you have an actor or actress where every time you see him in a movie, it just turns that movie off for you? Like, I'm done. I can't handle any more Michael Cera.
I don't know.
For me, it's Michael Cera. Every time I see that piece of shit, I turn off immediately. It's like,
What is it about him that you...
He's just painfully awkward, and I know that's his shtick, and I know that's his, like, thing he plays, is that guy who's there who just kind of, like, wandered onto a movie set kind of thing and just like, oh, I guess I'm acting today. Like, I don't know. Just something about that character. I'm just sick of... He plays the same guy every movie. I'm just done with it. Same with The Rock. You know, like, you know, it's like, how many times are you going to play the same character? It gets a little old.
And then my big thing is, like, fan casting, right? Oh, where fans want to, like, yeah, this actor would be a really good X character. And I feel like Tom Holland is that person, now that we're talking about it. Like, I like, man, Tom Holland. Don't get me wrong.
I understand.
But everyone's
completely.
Like, he should be in this movie. He should be in that movie. He doesn't need to be in every movie.
Exactly. Just like how we're seeing with The Last of Us and The Mandalorian. Like, Pedro's an amazing actor, but because of the success that he is getting, he's going to be in everything. And we're going to get a lot of Pedro. And it'll be good.
Now,
but there are limits.
I will say, though, he is a phenomenal Joel. I don't know if you've played the video game.
Such a good Joel. He's a great Joel. I would agree with that, too. So, B-Horse, would you say The Last of Us is the best rendition you have seen from a comic book into a movie/TV show setting?
100%, yes.
I mean, granted, there's not a lot of contention in the field. Like, who's their biggest comic book? Doom? The Mario Brothers?
We're rolling off a Halo here, so, you know, the bar is pretty low.
Oh, God. Halo put such a horrible taste in my mouth. Like, it was just bad. Like, it's like they took all the subject matter and all the lore and they just said, you see that, kids? Fuck that. We're not using any of it. We're rolling off the hip. Oh my God, it was so bad. So this is a controversial question that I think this conversation's in the other direction. Do you have a favorite movie? And if so, what is that movie?
Ooh.
That's hard.
I really like Apocalypse Now.
Oh. That is a classic. So, is that just the going up the river and, like, deltas? Is it the scenes? Is it the violence? You know, they actually killed a water buffalo in that movie, I heard.
Yeah.
For that one scene, Michael Douglas. Oh, no, it's not Michael Douglas. Fuck. I'm spacing on the director's name, but I know it. Directors that gets Stanley Kubrick. He gets just really into his films, like Full Metal Jacket, like full immersion.
Full Metal Jacket's another good one. I think it's just the whole, like, seeing how quickly a man can, like,
deteriorate,
descend into chaos and, like, lose himself.
So, being in the military, B-Horse, did you see that film and just be like, yeah, after pulling military fuck-fuck games, I can relate?
No, I actually seen that movie I think I was, like, 12 or 13.
Okay. So,
yeah,
so very
long,
young.
Long before even, like, the inkling of the idea of joining the military was, was in my mind.
And did you do that for, did you join for college? Did you join because for like a patriotic inkling? Did you join to just get away from the situation? Like, what was your purpose for joining? What was your driving catalyst?
So a multitude of reasons, right? I lived in a town where there wasn't really a whole lot where things were going to go for me.
I feel
like. I ended up finding out that I was going to be a dad. And then, yeah, college, you know, so there was multiple reasons that led up to it.
Right. Financial stability, opportunity, oh, yeah. And an out from, you know, a stagnant town that just didn't offer much. Now, when you signed up, did you get a job that corresponded with something that you wanted to pursue on the civilian side, or did you just like take whatever they offered to you?
I would say that it corresponded, right? I've always been interested in mechanics, working on vehicles and things of that nature, doing stuff with my hands. And I was lucky enough to get a job where I work on airplanes. Right.
That's pretty fucking sick. Now, do you want to transition from that job working on planes to working at things that like, you know, like an airport kind of mechanic style thing, or like private company plane stuff like a Boeing or a Lockheed Martin? Or do you not have a, like an idea of the career path you want to go when you get out?
I would want to probably stay in the aerospace industry. I'm starting to feel it. There's always this joke that goes around in the aircraft maintenance community where your body ages 4 times the rate of a normal person.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all.
That is very true. I'm 31 and I wake up and I roll out of bed the wrong way and my knee pops, my back hurts.
Right. You get up too fast, you start seeing those little bugs in your vision, and you're like, oh, I need some water, I'm going to pass the fuck out.
Exactly.
You can only live off Rippids, nicotine, and hatred for so long, B-Horse, before it catches up to you.
Yes. No, correct me if I'm wrong, you have a background in the military.
Yes, I was a hospital corpsman in the Navy, and I did 8 years. Majority of that was reserve time, but I deployed constantly. Like, I deployed... Yeah. Twice in 3 years, when I wasn't deployed, I was teaching and I was doing a bunch of other stuff because my sub billet was preventive medicine. So I did a lot of the medical stuff, and outside, I'm a medical contractor. So that was kind of a transition for me, but they fucked up. So when I joined up, like the Navy does everything in like 2-letter increments. Like I was going to be a hull technician, which is a welder, which is an HT. And when I got to boot camp, they were like, you're an HM. I was like, what the fuck is an HM? That's not the contract I signed. And they're like, oh, no, that's hospital. So I got accidentally slotted into a job that I didn't sign up for, and I couldn't get out of it. And it was, the best part was my boot camp people, my RDCs, which are the Navy's drill sergeants. I know in the Marine Corps, they're DIs. The Navy, it's RDCs. I don't know what it is in the Air Force or Space Force, but they're like, oh, don't worry. The day will come in boot camp when you can change your job. And when that day came, you know what they offered me, B-Horse?
They probably offered you to be a cop.
No, they looked right at my face and they said, you can be a cook on a submarine. And I can't think of a worse fucking fate than, you know, baking cakes under the sea.
I'm good on that one.
I'm good on that one, dog. So I stuck with dental stuff and doing medical stuff and fucking around with that. So, B-Horse, how would you rate the Air Force experience? Like, I know a lot of people love it that I've talked to the Air Force because you guys not only have the best bases... They treat you guys the best. It seems like a lot of the stuff they do, they actually care about their guys as opposed to like the other branches. How would you rate your experience?
If I went back, what is it now? 13 years ago. No, 12 years. And if I looked at, you know, old B or young B Horse and he asked me, you know, what would you do? I'd do it all over again.
Nice. See, that's awesome. No regrets, as they would say. No regrets.
Yeah, no regrets at all. I think that the opportunity that the Air Force has given me in terms of job, school, experience, traveling.
Oh, that's a big one.
Seeing other countries, yeah.
So, B-Horse, what's your favorite place you went to? What's the first place you got paid to travel to?
Ooh.
Hard question, I know.
Estonia was really nice.
Okay.
India. I've been to India a couple times.
Oh, I bet the food was amazing.
It was. So the funny thing about going to India, right? You land in New Delhi. and you can pay this company and they'll take you on a bus to go to the Taj Mahal, which, you know, it's one of the seven wonders of the world. Why wouldn't you want to go see it?
Exactly. It's, well, like one of those things in movies that they build it up like the Northern Lights. It's one of those end all be all human experiences, you know?
Now, it's a wonderful thing to see in person. When you walk into it, you have to put these little covers on your shoes. It's a wonderful experience. Now, the experience going there.
Oh, I bet it's so sad. Much. It's just like in Mexico when you land and like little kids are trying to sell you Chiclets and you see poverty. I've seen poverty in Iraq and I've seen poverty in Africa, yeah. So I can only imagine what it was like in India, a place that's much more densely populated and has so much more, like, you know, the caste system and all that other stuff, like, in its, like, you know, rearview window. So what was that like getting there?
It wasn't really too bad in terms of, like, poverty. I would say more so it was a long drive in this little tiny bus that didn't have AC.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Were they playing like loud radio music where you couldn't understand what the fuck they were saying?
No, it was silent.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah, it was horrible. So I put on headphones, fell asleep for 5 hours one way, 5 hours one way back. The Taj Mahal is good to see one time. After
once
that,
was enough for you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So what they do is this tour company drives you out there, right? But then they talk to all these other people. And so it's all these people that have little shops and restaurants and everything of the sort, because they're going to get their dollars worth out of you.
Oh, 100%. You know, they want all your schmeckles. They want you to leave with trinkets. They want you to spend every fucking cent you got.
Yeah, and which isn't bad, right? I've got little trinkets from the Taj Mahal. I've got this little, like, marble elephant that's really nice. But they take you to this restaurant.
It's a conversation piece. Ooh, tell us about that restaurant.
All right, so the restaurant, we pull up to this place, and it's in the city, and it's like a real, like, packed city, kind of garbage everywhere and stuff, and there's this dude, and he's using the restroom on the side of the building.
Just no fucks given. Just doing that thing where he's, like, squatting, and he's just shitting, like, right there. Yeah, is he pissing? No,
exactly. That's exactly what he was doing. He didn't give a shit.
Literally.
Literally. And so the rest of the crew, they're like, you know, maybe we're going to go and eat at McDonald's. And I was like, oh, well, you know, we're here. And, like, when am I going to eat, like, an authentic Indian meal? So, like, right. I'm going to risk it. If I get sick, at least I know I have my health care paid for, whatever.
Do you think that guy who was taking the shit on the side of the, like, building, do you think he was leaving, like, an Uber or, like, a Yelp review while doing it? Like, was he on his phone?
He very well may have, and I hope you did.
Oh, man.
So we go in and we eat the best meal I've ever eaten.
What did you get? Did you get, like, butter chicken? Meals. Did you get tikka masala? Yeah. Did you get, like, the classics that we see in the States? Or did you go, like off
the staples?
Ooh.
Like, the Indian staples, right? And we finish up. The rest of the crew comes back from McDonald's. And we get back to the hotel and stuff, and we're leaving the next day to fly back to... I think we were going back to Germany.
Okay. Ramstein Longschule area?
Yeah.
Beautiful area.
And then these people that went to McDonald's, they were the ones that got food poisoning.
That's awesome.
The rest of us were good.
So when you were eating that, like, very traditional, like, it doesn't get much more authentic than being in the country. How would you say, like, because I know in Chinese food, in America, they, like, deep fry a lot more stuff to make it more, like, you know, tempting to the American palate. They add a lot more sugary, like, base sauces. What would you say is different about Indian food in India compared to Indian food in America as is presented to, you know, Americans?
It wasn't as spicy, right? There's, like, the conception that Indian food has a lot of spices and it's hot.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
You hear a lot of the same thing with, like, Thai food.
Milder.
Interesting. That's actually really cool. I've never heard that before. But then again, I've never talked to anyone who's eaten Indian food in India before. So that's actually interesting as fuck. So the bathroom, did they do the hole in the ground squatty potty thing, or was it like an actual, like, porcelain god? Or did you not check the bathroom scenario? Because that guy outside kind of, like, you know, alluded to this is what we do.
There were the holes in the ground. Yeah.
Oh man, have you ever used a hole in the ground for
defecation? I have. Yeah.
See, it's daunting when you first come across that, and then you see in like. You see the people who live there aren't even making it in the hole because there's just shit on the sides of it, too. It's like, if the people who live here can't even do it right, what are my chances of doing this right?
My biggest fear is, you know, squatting down. And, like, what if I lose my balance and I fall over?
Or your 31-year-old knee just decides to buckle and then B-horse is going in the hole. Oh, that would be horrible. Like... You know what's equally horrible? When you said that guy was shitting on the side of the wall, I just pictured, like, you know, Midwestern tourists, like, "Here, honey, take a picture of me taking a shit on the wall, just like the locals." Like they do in Mexico, where they give you, like, the sombrero, and have you ride a donkey or shit. Oh, fucked up. So, B-Horse, having a stream, and being in the military as a current individual... is there a fear that your guys are going to find your stream? Because I know
it's already started to happen.
Oh, no. Like, how did the word get out? Did you, like, tell somebody and it spread like wildfire? Or did they just come across you by happenstance?
I don't know exactly how it started, right? I think maybe, like, I was doing something with it. Like, I was like, uploading something on... or checking something on YouTube. I don't know. And then someone was asking me about it. And I was like, yeah, that's me. And then as more and more people started finding out about it, like, there's not people that come into the stream. They just know that I do.
Right. At least they're giving you that, like, you know, that distance. Because in the military, you can get hemmed up for the dumbest of shit. And sometimes it feels like if somebody's out to get you, or if the chain of command's looking for a reason, you know, it's really easy to find a reason. For example, fraternization. Like, I know a guy who got in trouble because he played Xbox Live with a guy who was, like, way lower rank. And that's, like, there was no favoritism, but they were in the same unit, and they were, like, engaging in activities off time, like, you know, outside of military practice, so it was considered fraternization. Like, a little shit like that can get you hemmed up, which is stupid as hell. So I'm just...
It is stupid as hell.
Yeah, but, you know, if somebody wants to get at you, the military will find a way. There's no escape from the green weenie, as we all know, but I'm sure in the Air Force it's called the blue weenie.
For the most part, like, if like, I wanted to, well, it's a little bit different, because I work in a school house environment now, okay. So obviously I couldn't do that with, like, any of the students.
So are you training, are you in the process of training people who are coming into your... It's not an NEC code for the Air Force, but are you training people who are coming into that, like, job?
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice. So, for somebody who's in a teaching platform, like, I know there's so many different ways to learn. You have the people who are vocal learners, hands-on learners, things like that. Do you find you have to tailor your approach per student, or do you have, like, what's your preferred method of getting certain things across?
So mine is hands-on. I like to, you know, do the visual side of stuff for them. But, you know, every person's different, right? So you do have to cater that to them, to make sure that they get that information that you're trying to give them. So it's definitely a challenge.
Now, have you been pushed to your wit's end as an instructor?
Ooh, it's been close. I've yelled at one person in the last... 2-3 years I've been an instructor. I've yelled at one person, and it was a safety related thing. You know, the last thing that I want to do is see someone get hurt. Right. I'm a pretty laid back guy, but if someone's going to get hurt, they're going to be useless to their unit. I have to do extra paperwork. That's no fun. I do enough paperwork as it is. I don't need to do more.
Paperwork is horrible. And then once you get older, carpal tunnel becomes a thing, and, you know, you're gaming, you're clicking, you need your hands, B-Horse. So this is looking out for everything. This is bigger picture shit. So that junior airman, get fucked. You got to do things right.
It's difficult, especially now the newer generations that are coming in. They don't seem to get it sometimes. And I think that's a difficulty as well.
So you have, would you say, kind of a long fuse?
I would say so, yeah.
So what is B-Horse's pet peeve? Like, what's something... that when you encounter, turns that long fuse into a short fuse? Is it something food related? Like, you see somebody put pineapple on pizza and you just set off? Is it something like you know, people coming into your stuff and self-promoting. Like, what is the B-horror short fuse anger, like, trigger?
Oh, micromanaging. Can't do it.
That's a bad one. I get that.
Like, if someone's coming in and telling me, like, overstepping their boundary and telling me how to run a certain thing, like, that gets a little frustrating.
Especially for you, because you're up there. You're, like, one rank above, you know, going up to, see, like, well, the Air Force ranks are so difficult. E7 for the Navy is just a chief. You guys are, like, Master Senior Chief Sergeant. You know, it's got, like, a very long title and all the chevrons in the world. You're just working towards that rocker. So do you want to get to that point? Are you, like, you're already 13 years in. Are you planning on retiring through the Air Force?
That's a point of contention right now in the current moment.
I feel that.
So, as I said before, right, I have a kid. He lives out west with his mother. My goal is, after I'm done teaching, to head back out west to be a little bit closer with him. If not, that's it for me, man. I'm out.
Which is totally understandable. It gets to a point where the military is not the most conducive thing for families, and it's not the most conducive thing for, you know, distance, especially with children. So I totally understand that. Like, it got to a point where, you know, it was just like, I have to either pick my family or this career. And, you know, for me, family was it. And it's funny because when you're in, you see a lot of guys who chose career, and a lot of them are not very happy. I'm just going to say that. A lot of them are very angry and very bitter.
I think my biggest thing is that, you know, I don't want to reach my son's getting to the age where I don't want him to resent me for working.
Right.
And, like, thinking that, you know, I take this career over him.
Exactly.
And so I value that a lot more than a job. I can get a job.
Exactly, and you'll get paid better on the civilian side anyway. See, that's such a hard concept as a parent, because you can do everything right, but the one time you fuck up, that could be the thing that scars your kid, or that could be the one memory they hold on to. So it's like, kids are so difficult like that, and they push boundaries constantly. Like,
definitely,
I only have a 2-year-old, and she knows that she could fuck with me. And she does, and I'm about to have another one, and I'm sure that one will fuck with me too, because, you know, I'm just a softie for my kids. It's just, it sucks. I'm not a disciplinarian when it comes to them, but when I was in the Navy, I would yell at any motherfucker for just about any reason.
Oh yeah.
So B-Horse, with everything going on in the, you know, the Twitch like states, have you been lured by Kick or any of the other platforms out there, like a Facebook gaming, a YouTube gaming, anything like that, TikTok gaming? Is there any of that, like, you know, bait of the trap for you?
I think the only one that kind of piqued my interest a little bit was YouTube. I say that because there were all the changes with, like, splits and everything like that. Right. But, you know, at my level, it doesn't really affect me as much as, say, you know, those partners that had, like, 70-30 splits, stuff like that.
Right. No, totally. That makes sense. But that's the cool thing, is that there's so many options, even though some of those options are a little sketchy. Like, Kick is doing some weird shit. Like, did you see that? They would stream the Super Bowl.
There's no chance. There's not a snowball's chance in hell that I would ever even consider going to Kick. For a multitude of reasons, right? One, it's sketchy.
People are straight streaming porn on there.
Yeah, dog. Like, nah, that ain't it for me. I know that I'm not, like, the most, like, family friendly stream on Twitch, but hell, I know I'm not gonna be streaming porn.
Not taking it to those levels anyway.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I think the other big thing, right, about switching platforms, and I think it's, like, a much more daunting thing for anyone when they consider that, is how much of your viewer base is going to follow you, right? Are you going to have to start from scratch? Are you going to be fine? Are you going to be screwed and just fall to the wayside. It's a very daunting thing to think about.
Exactly. Like, the only thing that really would be appealing from, like, my perspective is if you were trying to, like, completely rebrand and, like, completely have a new persona when you stream, if you're the kind of person that adopts a persona when you stream. Like, most people go with, like, you know, just being genuine in themselves, but some people like to play a character, which is totally fine. And, like, if you're looking to have a hard reset and be like, oh yeah, I'm the 8-bit nobody on fucking Twitch, but on Kick, I'm fucking Senor Dicks Out or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Which is not a thing. Please do not look up Senor Dicks Out, because I'm probably a thing on fucking Kick. So, B-Horse, your blue humor, you alluded to, you know, not the most family-friendly, funny, kind of dark slash dirty humor. Would you say that was influenced by military stuff, stand-up comedian stuff? Like, where would you say you get your sense of humor?
I would say, like, definitely the aircraft maintainer military side of humor, right? Like, you've experienced it. We're dark humor, maybe not always the most political correct.
Oh, it rarely is politically correct.
But I think that's hilarious. Mostly where it gets pulled from.
It totally makes sense. So, with all the stuff that you have heard in the military, like, do you just take a second to stop when you hear somebody say it like that? I was like, oh my god, if you said that at a regular job, like, HR would be in here. It'd be a huge fucking thing.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Especially when you're out in, like, a deployed location and it's like,
oh, and it shit just sucks and it's like 130 degrees outside. Yeah, you're gonna say some shit. Now, when you transfer over to the civilian side, do you think that's going to be the hardest thing to, like, you know, maintain? It's not going to be the work. It's not going to be the hours. It's probably going to be, like, you know, keeping those verbal cues in check. Do you think that's going to be a difficult thing for you?
I think there will be some sort of, like, difficulty, but I think coming off of, like, an instructor duty and having to be politically correct when you're in a classroom environment, I think I have a little bit of an advantage there.
I didn't even think of that. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So, with all the things from the transition, is there anything about the transitioning period into the civilian side that you're dreading?
Mm-mm. Moving. Moving. I hate moving.
Oh god, I fucking hate moving too. And you've moved all around although not only the country but all over the world. Like, have you had a lot of difficulty with things getting broken or things getting lost in those transitions?
Okay, so here's a little spoiler. Ripley's Believe It or Not, I've been stationed at one base my entire time.
How is that possible, B-Horse? How did you manage this?
So,
you have pictures of, like, someone high up and you're blackmailing them? What is happening?
No, so I've held different positions at this one base, and it's kind of allowed me to have certain assignment locks.
That's awesome.
So I started out as, like, a normal ground pounder, you know, fixing airplanes out on the flight line. Moved over to another unit where I was a flying crew chief, is what they call it. You fly with the airplane and then you fix it.
Right.
And then now I'm an instructor here.
So you've literally been through every single role that that job really has, from, like, you know, grunt work to being out in the field, like, maintaining, and now, like, in an instructor role. So you've kind of gone full circle. The only thing that's left is for you to be, like, a boot camp instructor. Now, is that something that you would be interested in doing?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a whole different ball of wax. Because not only do you have to know your job, but for that, you have to learn so much bullshit, and you have to keep so many fresh kids in line. Like, just thinking about, like, training your classes, how much more of a headache would it be to train an entire brand new, like, recruit class? That would be such a pain in the dick.
Like, a whole 60 kids of, like, just fresh out of their mom's basement. Nah, I would rather not.
And imagine if they recognized you. Like, hey, you're that one guy.
Dude, okay, so we have one. The way our schoolhouse works, right? Like, they come out of boot camp,
right?
And they go to one school. It's like basic mechanics school. It's like
mechanics 101.
Yeah, they go to that for like a month, and then they come to us.
Okay, That's not a lot of time.
No. So we had this one class fairly recently, and one of the other instructors, he picked them up and talked to them and stuff, and was like, you know, what do you guys like to do? What do you do in your free time? All this and that. And one of them was like, you know, I'll play video games and stuff like that. This one instructor, let me tell you.
Oh no.
He goes, yeah, well, do you ever think about streaming? He's like, yeah, but I don't think I could ever like do anything with it. He's like, the instructor goes, well, believe it or not, there's a guy here that streams on Twitch
and
has a decent following. He's like, I can hook you up with him and you guys can talk. And he told me that, and I was like, no, I'm not going to talk to that dude. Like, don't ever say that ever again.
He was trying to make a built-in mentorship program.
Which is fine, like, whatever, but I don't need
But not
that.
In that capacity, because that's your no. outside of working hours. When you take when you take your outside venting thing and you bring it into that space, it no longer becomes an outside venting thing. Then it becomes bullshit, you know?
Yeah, let me be a DJ outside of work. Come on now.
Right? I got here on time in the uniform of the day. Let me fucking do hood rat things on my off time with my friends. Let me fucking shoot people on Tarkov, but not drop them anything, because if you drop things now, you can get fucking banned.
Oh my god, yeah.
So, what is your take on the new RMT thing that's going down? Like, first it was the fucking, you can't use this third-party fucking shader thing, and now it's this. It seems like a lot's been coming down the pipe the last few days. So, what's the B-Horse take on what Battlestake's been doing lately?
I think that they're alienating a lot of their player base, especially the content creators that are essentially giving them free advertising.
Right.
Vibin was one of those people that got temporarily banned for 60 days. The dude has like 10,000 hours in the game.
And they reset his profile to a level 1. I don't know if that was like rectified, but that's fucking shitty. That sucks.
Yeah, so I don't agree with it. There needs to be cut and dry communication between the developer and, you know, the players. BSG has proven time and time again that just doesn't exist. I don't know if that's just a Russian practice, but you know, there's a huge lack of communication, and I think that's where a lot of the issue stems from.
Like, yeah, they've definitely
they came along
like
and said, like, yeah, if they came along and said, we're like, hey, yeah, no viewer kits, can't do that. Cool. Well, at least you have a black and white thing that right. says it.
At least not you have like, the parameters set. You're not just like every time you go live or every time you turn on the game, you don't have to be afraid of stepping on a landmine that they're going to be like the next day, be like, that's fucked. You can't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So with all this stuff that's going on, is that kind of making this wipe less enjoyable for you, or are you having a blast? Like, where would you say this wipe is for you?
I mean, I'm still enjoying the game. I like making my own fun. I mean, I've accepted the fact that I'm not going to get Kappa probably ever. But I like having fun doing goofy little things.
And when you say goofy little things, like, do you mean like VoIPing funny fucked up shit? Do you mean, like, you know, going into factory with the cowboy hat and the revolver, or putting, like, ridiculous challenge and stipulations on yourself, like the Z-Chum Worm Challenge? Like, what is
the Z-Chum Worm Challenge? Yep, I've done that. Yeah, I wormed across the entire customs map. That was horrible.
That sounds like you would barely have enough time.
Yeah, I think I made it out with, like, 7 minutes left.
Jesus. Did you kill anyone during the Worm Challenge?
No.
Did you loot anything during the Worm Challenge?
I did loot something. Yeah, I looted a stash and then like laid right back down.
Worm Steam 6 extracted. So, B-Horse, out of all of the challenges and all the funny things that you've seen in the Tarkov community through your time in game, what is your favorite challenge? Do you have a favorite challenge?
I think my favorite... It's not necessarily a challenge. My favorite task ever in the game is the guide.
Oh, that one's hard. That one's fun, though.
It is. So, the last two or three wipes, I've done the guide first try.
Oh, so that's insanely lucky. Were you streaming it, or did it happen off stream?
I streamed it.
Nice. I don't know what it is, but every time I turn on a camera and I try to do something, it just goes to shit. But when I don't have a camera on, things go great. But there's no evidence, you know? It's just like, God damn it. Now, do you find that happens with you a lot? Or is it just like, doesn't matter camera on or off, what happens is going to happen either way for you?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I don't really care. If it happens, it happens.
Right, totally. So how long would you say it took for you as a content creator to find your voice? Because I know some people, when like they're first getting started, camera's on, lights are on, it takes them a while to feel comfortable in that setting. Now, how long would you say it took you, or are you still in that transitional period? Because some people never get comfortable.
I think that I kind of just went for it and did it.
So you're going like immersion therapy, like Deki climbing mountains while being afraid of heights kind of thing. Yeah. You said, fuck it.
I think it was maybe like a 3-month period where it was like odd trying to figure out like setup, where I'm going to put things on my screen.
Oh yeah. And OBS is not the most user-friendly thing to work with when you're brand new.
Being self-conscious about like looking at things off camera, stuff like that. But now, like, I don't care. I'll turn on a camera right now and just play a video game. Like, just let really
her
care.
Just Beyblade it, just letting it rip all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
Hell yeah. So when it comes to all your stuff that you have going on, now, this year that's coming up, or the year that we're currently in, are you planning to do anything different with content? Like, are you planning on making things long form, short form, going towards one direction or the other? Do you have anything in, like, the blueprints of what you want to do in the future as a content creator?
Yeah, I want to do more long form content, because it's been kind of inconsistent. It's like once every 2 months or something.
Oh, for sure.
And then, more short form stuff, because that's
what gets
really
the clicks.
What I feel like
that's where you get the
going
high
to
traffic
now.
Yeah, those shorts are huge right now. Now, when it comes to the long form, would you go with like with the narrative? Would you do like a let's play, or would you go with more of a story thing? Like, I'm Swamp Fox, and this is the UN playthrough. Like, what kind of long form would you like go for if you could do that today?
Ooh, that's a tough one. So I keep a little notebook right by my desk. And I write down, like, goofy little ideas, like, hey, like, I'm gonna fill up a box full of bronze horse statues, or something like that, or, like, I'm gonna hide in a tree. Yeah, so.
Just sniping people on customs through the tree.
Yeah.
Like Captain Planning people, I love it. So, with all the content, like, for shorts, would you pursue a TikTok, or would you be more geared towards like a YouTube shorts?
Probably a YouTube short. Yeah.
Yeah. TikTok is very strange. Like, I know so many people who've had their like complete like history wiped and inaccessible because people who just didn't like them for whatever reason just spammed, you know, report sexual content. Even if there's actually no sexual content on there, TikTok does not seem like it's the best, like, you know, customer service related platform. Maybe they're also run by BSG. Who fucking knows, right?
Well, so I ran into that fairly recently. So I uploaded a TikTok, YouTube short. I uploaded it to both platforms.
Okay.
And immediately it was taken off of TikTok. Because of, it was something along the lines of like vulgar language or something like that.
I see people do some fucking pretty heinous things on TikTok. Like, what on earth could be horse have said?
But the same thing on YouTube did 100% fine.
So you must have upset somebody out there in the TikTok realm. Somebody
probably
saw that and was just like, fuck this guy. For whatever reason. So, B-Horse, what is your name? Tell us why you chose Biannual Horse. Because biannual means every other year, and then, you know, a horse is like a Mr. Ed, a horse. Like, what is the meaning?
Yes, the B-Horse lore.
Yeah, let's dive into the B-Horse lore.
All right, so there's not really that much lore that goes into it. It it dates back to Xbox 360 days.
Okay.
You'd sign up for Xbox Live, and then you'd choose your Xbox Live game, your gamer tag. And if you couldn't think of something, you'd hit that randomized name.
Okay.
So I hit that randomized name, and it came up with Biannual Horse.
And you were like, "That's it."
The funny thing is, the funny thing is that my initials are BH.
Oh, that's perfect.
And I was like, "Oh, that makes sense." So
has anyone that you gamed with in the Xbox like Live days, has any of them hit you up and been like, "Oh, dude, I remember you from like, you know, so and so game back in the day"? Have you had any way back people come through because you have the same name?
There's one person that I like played with in high school. He follows me on Twitch. Yeah,
that's fucking sick. Now, is this somebody you've met in real life? Or you said you knew?
Yeah, like I went to high school with him and stuff. Yeah,
perfect. So, B-Horse, speaking of all the things going on with Twitch, the recent thing with them banning gambling and then having a TwitchCon in Vegas, are you going to go to the TwitchCon, no gambling Vegas TwitchCon?
As of now, yes.
Nice.
I do agree with the... All right, so that's kind of like a double-sided thing, right?
Right. It totally is.
Banning gambling on Twitch, I 100% agree with.
Yes, because it's not meant for that. It's supposed to be a gaming platform, and gambling ruins like lives. Like we saw that Slicker guy defund a shit ton of money from his audience, and then he recently just got permabanned. I'm surprised it took this fucking long. Maybe they were doing an investigation.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised it took that long. But, yeah, I totally understand it. But it's also kind of weird because they're taking money from FanDuel. And like, you know, DraftKings, like Twitch gets money from them. So it's okay to talk about sports gambling and sports betting on Twitch, but it's not okay to play slots, especially because a lot of those SWAT like online based companies are technically illegal in the United States, depending on what state you live in.
Yeah. I mean, I think sports betting is a little bit different just in the sense of like, you're seeing things that like are playing out live where it's like autonomous beings doing it.
It's not a pre-recorded like slot machine that could be like completely rigged.
Exactly. And also, you know, another thing that's good about them banning it on Twitch is you might have streams that say they're 18 plus. But I would guarantee you 99% of the streams that are 18 plus have, I would say probably at least 10% of those people are underneath the legal gambling age.
Oh, and guaranteed.
Whether they're under 18, so like, you know, 6, 7, 8, so on and so forth, all the way up to 21, those are impressionable, right? Like, they're gonna be like, "Oh my God, I can make $1,000 by putting in one."
Like, I wonder how many kids grew up and they just think it's normal to buy someone's bathwater. Like, you know, like, "Oh, Belf Delphine did it." Like, I wonder how many of those kids just think that's like, you know, normal practice. Like, "Oh, bro, did you get her bathwater, bro?" Like,
yeah, bro. Dude, no.
Fucking kids, man. So, with all of the stuff that is going on in the Tarkov Twitterverse, do you try to stay off of Twitter? Do you not get involved when you see people going off on these random tangents? Do you find that it's just a distraction, or is it something that you just laugh about?
I think it really depends on what it is, right? So in the case of banning people for getting viewer kits, you know, not that my voice really means that much or has that much pull in the grand scheme of things, but you know, I'll put in my 2 cents, you know what?
Right.
Stuff like that. Yeah. But if it's just like stupid drama, I'm going to just keep my mouth shut and laugh at people.
Right. That's kind of the best way. Like it seems to go, because It's really easy to get, like, just look on Twitter and get, like, just depressed about the community or depressed about certain things if you allow yourself to go there. Just taking, like, a stupid approach is probably the best way to be. People fighting over damn near everything nowadays. I like the old days when people were just fighting about food. Do you remember that, yours? What happened to that?
Back in my day.
Back in my goddamn day. There was only four Fast and the Furiouses.
Both ways.
Right? You know, you just sit back, you roll a joint, you watch that one fucking video that one guy made about the old days of Tarkov, and you just sit back and reminisce, and it's a good time. Petr Schramms remembers when this wasn't fucked. Oh, man. So, B-Horse, if you could change anything about Tarkov, or any game for that matter, what would it be? If you could add something, subtract something, what would be your touch? What would you do?
I mean, aside from the obvious stuff, right?
Like, yeah, besides from, like, audio, besides, like, you know, the non-rubber banding on streets, like, you know, let's pretend all of that wasn't a factor, and the game ran
all the obvious
well.
Stuff. Everyone wants that fixed. Exactly. Everyone wants that to not be
But if existent. You had, like, a random quality of life thing, or one random thing, what would be your thing?
I want to make kits, like, preset kits. So
that would be
like a locker. Where I have armor, helmet, gun. And you know, I can click on it, and I can just equip it.
That would be awesome. And you know what else would be awesome? Is if it would create, like, a code, so you could just copy and paste, and you could send that to your friends. So if they were, like, having...
Sharing presets. Yes, sharing presets would be amazing.
Especially if you have somebody who's new to the game, and they can't figure out, like, a mechanic quest, and you're just like, hey, I built this. Just, like, here you go. You know, like, helping them out. But then again, that would take away content from the guys who make the mechanic quest videos, like Ghost and them. So they probably would not like that. Because, like, who would want to watch a 20-minute video or a 15-minute video if you could just click a link inside, you know? So I'm not trying to take away anyone's, like, you know, livelihood. I'm just saying that that would be a cool thing if BSG would add, even though some
it would
people
be
might
really
not
cool.
be a fan of it. So with gaming, do you have a game that you love to play, but you just can't play it on stream because it's not a good game for stream for whatever reason?
Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Now, do you wouldn't get into a box like Deki and do the trash air thing?
So, like, I do occasionally stream Microsoft Flight Simulator. Like, sometimes at the end of stream, when I'm run down, beat down in Tarkov, I'm like, you know, let's do a short little flight. We'll fly around the flagpole a little bit, land, and then we'll close it out. Nice. But I couldn't. I don't think I could ever, like, dedicate the same amount of time that I dedicate to Tarkov.
Totally. Like,
in one stream.
Now, is there a game out there that is either about to be released or in development that you're looking forward to for streaming purposes?
Ooh, I'm super stoked on Kerbal Space Program 2. I got that wish listed.
So I'm happy you brought up Kerbal Space Program 2 because I love the Kerbals. I actually bought, you know, the Spirit Halloween, like, the costume store, the Halloween store? I bought inflatable spaceman suit with a fan. So it's like a fat guy spaceman suit with a fan that has, like, air circulating. And I'm going to stream Kerbal while wearing that shit. It's going to be ridiculous. And it drops on the 24th, so we're only 5 days away from Kerbals.
Indeed. I'm also excited for the PC version of Last of Us 1. I'm going to be playing that.
So good. I don't know about you, but I don't buy consoles anymore. Like, I mean, I have a PC.
Neither do,
like,
I.
And having that, I will replay. Just like the Dead Space remaster. Like, I loved Dead Space, and once they brought that back to the PC, I was just like, I fell in love all over again, you know?
Yeah. So, have you played Callisto Protocol?
I have not. Like, I heard some people were really, really on it and really sad about it because, like, the main thing I heard is the story is too short and the game, apparently you could just, like, mash punch and get through out of any situation. I don't know if this is true, but this is just what I've heard from a lot of people. Now, did you enjoy the game?
That's fairly true, yeah. I did enjoy it, but I mean, that is fairly true. But I did kind of like the I did kind of like the combat.
Now, do you think Callisto Protocol, do you think that would trans over well into a movie and or TV show?
I think anything Callisto Protocol, Dead Space, that sort of idea would be good.
Oh, Dead Space would be so heartbreaking. Just like Isaac, don't do it. Like, every time he does do anything, he's like, just don't, Isaac, fuck, just don't. Nothing there but pain and fucking tentacle monsters. This is terrible.
Poor Isaac. I think it would translate well to a different media form.
That's the thing I think is going to be, like, Last of Us feels like it's going to open the door hugely. Like, I've already heard rumors of a Dead Space movie. I've heard that the 40K thing with The Witcher, it's going to be epic. Yep. I'm so looking forward to that. Now, if you could take any game from either, you know, current or past, when you're a child, and turn that into something on the screen, what would it be?
Ooh. Any game from my childhood.
And this could be anything. This could be something like, I want to see the Pikmin movie with Danny DeVito as the astronaut. Like, give me the B-Horse take. What do you want to see, B-Horse?
Oh, God. What was this name of this game? I got to look this up. So, it was on the Nintendo 64.
Okay. Great console.
Yeah. So, well, I guess there's two of them. So, one, Perfect Dark.
Ooh, that would fuck. That would be good.
And then there's this other game I can't remember. It was like Beatles, but they were like humanoid type things.
Interesting. Was it? It's thinking of Buck Bumble, like the little bee man who was flying around shooting bugs.
Jet Force Gemini.
That's a title I have not heard in a very long time.
Oh, they weren't Beatles. I guess they kind of looked like Beatles, but they had a dog, and I think that's cool.
That would be sick. I'm just really hoping they don't pull like a childhood favorite and ruin it, like Banjo-Kazooie, but Banjo's the Rock and Kazooie's also the Rock. You know, yeah. Like some dumb shit like that.
Some nutty professor. Everyone's played by the Rock.
Even the witch Brumhilda. Imagine that shit. The Jinjos are little tiny rocks.
I would just quit. I just never do anything ever again.
It's like Salvia can't even fix this fucking movie. It's Salvia fixes everything. Oh, man. So, B-Horse. Now, out of all of the systems and consoles and gaming methods throughout your experience, what was the worst designed controller?
Worst designed controller?
Like, do you just look at a controller and just get like, oh, fuck the original Xbox controller. That shit's massive. Or fuck the N64 because that little joystick.
So the original Xbox controller was fucking obnoxiously large.
It really was.
When they released the slim version of it, that's when everything changed.
See, I love that PlayStation was just like, yeah, we're going to use the same goddamn design we had for the first one. Get fucked. We're not doing any weird shit.
Nintendo. And they continued to change it, or continue to like build upon it, right? Like it still has that same controller shape.
Yeah, exactly. Like they added the wireless capability, they added the plug-in port, they added like, I think they added the, what was the other thing? They added the shock thing, so it actually like, you know, vibrates or certain things. They did that in the second iteration. Like the N64 had the built-in rumble pack that you had to insert into the controller. So if you got to choose if you wanted your thing to fucking shake like or not. You're like, yeah, I want the fucking Parkinson simulator. Put that shit in. We're playing StarCraft, or you could pop it out. You know, you can choose.
Yeah, you want
your
that
adventure.
Michael J. Fox roleplay.
Right, exactly. Dual barrel roll. It's just shaking every fucking which way. Oh man. So you know what I was thinking would be a really awesome game from the N64 to make into a movie? Can you imagine a Turok movie? Like a well-done Turok movie?
Oh, God, yeah.
But they'd have to not fuck with it. They'd have to keep Chris Pratt out of it. They would have to keep The Rock out of it. They'd have to keep Batista out of it. Like, they would have to get somebody who would fit the role. Like, even an Adam Driver would be good in that movie.
I don't even know who you would cast in that.
Right? Like, that's the thing, is the characters felt like such secondary things. It was all about the dinosaurs. So as long as they don't cast the dinosaurs as The Rock or Michael Cera, I'm okay. Like, I know
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling, there you go. Ryan Gosling for everything. I know today's interview might feel very movie heavy, and that's because I was going to go to the movies, and I've been looking at trailers all day, and they all suck. Everything in the movies right now does not look good. So I'm on a kick.
I mean, that's fine. I enjoy movies. I almost went and saw the new Ant-Man today.
Why didn't you? Was it like one of those things where like just not enough story, not enough depth, or just didn't have the time in the day?
It was mostly I just didn't want to leave my house.
Hey, I mean, that's a valid answer right there. Like, for me personally, like, I love the Marvel shit. I love the comic books. I like some of the movies, but, like, I'm so fucking behind. I don't feel like if I watch anything, it's going to make sense, you know?
Right.
Like, I haven't seen shit since WandaVision. It's just like, I'm so fucking behind, and I don't have the time to dedicate to watching all these fucking things. Especially if they're going to be bad. Like, the last one I saw, my wife and me went to go see the new Love and Thunder Thor movie, which was like, you know, it's a cute movie. It was like, it was an all right date movie, but it's just like, I'm so lost. I don't know what the fuck's going on anymore.
Yeah.
That, and they killed, you know, they killed my V is for Vendetta girl in the Marvel universe. Yeah. So she's not coming back. So it's like, well, fuck you, Marvel. You ruined it.
And if anyone panics about spoilers, it's been like two years.
Too long. Like, if anyone doesn't like spoilers, if anyone's going to come at me for spoiling Love and Thunder, they can eat my entire ass by yours.
The movie's been out for too damn long to claim fucking spoilers.
And it wasn't anything special. Like, if you're watching Love and Thunder, you can pretty much guess the ending. Like, it's not like...
Right.
Oh, man. It's not like I'm fucking saying Star Wars, you know, Vader's the dad. Like, back then, that would be a major spoiler. But for this... No. So, speaking of spoilers, the Hogwarts Legacy thing and all the hatred and all that, a lot of people were spoiling that on Twitter for the people who were enjoying it. Like, I don't know shit about Hogwarts Legacy, but I already know so-and-so dies and so-and-so did the betraying and all this other shit. Now, did you see any of that in your message feeds?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I wish I would have typed in Hogwarts and put that as a fucking, like, ignore word, so I wouldn't have to see any of these things. It feels like I've been getting bombarded the last few days. So, gaming and controversy. Can you remember a game that has hit this much controversy since Hogwarts Legacy?
I don't think so. And I think it kind of...
I'm trying to think. The only thing I can think of is, like, the no Russian, like, level where you're shooting up people at an airport.
That wasn't even that bad.
No, it really wasn't. You don't even have to shoot anybody. You can go that whole mission without shooting a shot. But, you know, people, knee-jerk reaction. It was like, you know, right after 9/11. So, you know, people took that and ran certain directions with it.
Yeah. I just think the whole thing with the whole Harry Potter, Hogwarts legacy thing, it's getting out of hand, or it got out of hand.
It really did. And then some people just, like, got onto it just to be trolly, even though they weren't even playing the game. You know, people just love to tack on just for that extra, like, just to piss people off. It felt like some of that was going for. And then it was just kind of obnoxious, like, like, on both sides. It's like, come on, guys. Like, I understand the disagreeing and I understand all that stuff, but, like, if you guys don't feel this way, why are you even engaging with each other? Why not just mute each other and go about your life? Like, what's the point of getting into these long, drawn out 50-tweet arguments? Like, it's like seeing a message on a freeway overpass. Like, you drive by and you don't look at one of those signs and be like, you know what? He's right. Where is the birth certificate? Like, you know, nobody's changing their fucking world outlook based off of a tweet on a 50-message thread or on something you post on the highway overpass.
Yeah, and then you know what? Just treat it like your significant other's mad at you. She writes you a fucking 20-line paragraph about how you're so shitty and stuff, and then just reply, okay.
Right.
Like that's all you gotta do.
As long as you don't say sorry and shit. As long as you don't say something like that to make it worse, because then you're going to get another 20-line, you know, angry letter.
Oh, so you did do that. No, no, I didn't.
My mother was right about you. Like, fuck. God damn it. So, B-Horse. Cheating is the hot topic lately in gaming. It feels like every game has a cheater. All the way, everything from CSGO all the way to Tarkov. Now, is there any game out there that you have played that is completely ruined by the cheating experience?
I think back when the newest Call of Duty came out, when I played it for a little bit, there were a bunch of cheaters, and then I just was kind of annoyed by it, especially because it was like propagated by people posting TikToks of them playing the game and cheating.
Right. For me, CSGO was completely ruined by cheaters. Like, you'd be about to win a match, and then somebody would get pissed, and they'd toggle on, and the next thing you know, you got a spin botter with a scout or a fucking name insert weapon here spinning and looking at the ground shooting you with a fucking auto sniper. It's like, it sucks that some of these things just completely ruin the experience. Like, I haven't loaded up and played a CSGO match in almost a year now because of that kind of bullshit. And
I don't even know the last time I played CSGO.
Exactly.
Honest with you.
And now Valorant's starting to have some of those things too, and now we're seeing it creep into Tarkov with, like, you know, the god cheaters who are just floating around the map on a magic carpet, or the invisible scav, like, you know, situation, or the invisible player situation. Now, have you experienced a Alibaba flying man on Tarkov or an invisible guy?
I've experienced the invisible guy,
Did he VoIP at you?
Like 3 days ago. No, so the invisible glitch that's going on right now, it's a Tarkov server related issue. It's not necessarily the person cheating.
Right.
It's a disconnect between the player's client and their computer and then the server.
Right. And I don't remember this being an issue in previous wipes. Has this always been a thing and I just never caught it? Nope. Or is this new?
It's been an issue in the past, but they've always fixed it.
Maybe I've been lucky and those invisible fucks have left me alone. Or maybe they just shoot me and I'm too stupid to realize he was right in front of me as an invisible man.
Yeah, so if you pull up your console on your game and you see a bunch of errors, that's how you know that there's an invisible player.
Oh, I did not know. That's actually a cool little tidbit. So,
and the error will refresh like every like 10 seconds or something like that. But it'll just, and your game will run like shit because the game's just trying to find this player because they know they're there, but they don't know where they are.
See, that's the beautiful thing about my computer and my internet is my Tarkov always runs like shit. I'm like the Hulk. I'm always angry. My shit's always running like crap. So no harm, no foul on my end then. So B-Horse, if you could hang out with any dealer in the Tarkov realm, and if you could beat the shit out of any dealer in the Tarkov realm, who would it be and why?
Oh, Jaeger.
Hang out or fuck him up or both?
Oh, no. I'd just fuck him up.
Now, how are we talking? Are we talking about like Reservoir Dogs? Are you going to like tie him to a chair, cut off his ear with a fucking razor blade, douse him in gas?
I'd probably just shoot him in the back of the head and just like throw him next to his hut. I don't know.
So you would probably like this. So that game Zero Sievert, which is pretty much like a top-down, like 16-bit, like Tarkov, there's a Jaeger character, and one of your tasks is you can choose to kill him. And it's so satisfying walking into his house and just unloading a complete AK-74U into his body and then just leaving.
I love that.
I think they did that on purpose. And it's weird, because Zero Sievert has a lot of Tarkov bosses, like literal Tarkov bosses. Like, you go to the mall and there's an Adidas striped man and his name is Killa. It's like, it's the exact same shit. I think you might have cut out for a second, B-Horse.
I think I did too.
Oh, you're back.
I think I did too.
So, B-Horse, who would you hang out with? Who would be your trader of choice to grab a drink, hang out, enjoy a meal? Who would be your trader to hang out with and why?
I feel like Fence has the good hookup. You know,
a good hookup for what though? What are you trying to score in the Tarkov scene?
You know, whatever I want.
Skier sells
need.
Coke. 100% Skier sells Coke.
You know, Fence might have like a good hookup for like some good scotch.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. Peacekeeper maybe too, but yeah, I could see Fence getting what you need. But if you're looking to like, you know, ride down the fucking mountain of cocaine, that's Skier all day.
Oh, for sure.
Mechanic just seems like a fucking nerd.
But I mean, I do like guns. I do like you know.
And he's really weirdly philosophical. Yeah, he said, if you like read his like voice lines, he says some weird out there shit. And you're like, what is he, this guy fucking doing? Is this guy smoking ayahuasca or some shit? That's just mechanic, I guess.
Yeah, that's just mechanic things.
So, B-Horse, same question, but with the bosses of Tarkov, if you could hang out with any boss in the Tarkov realm, who would it be? And if you could beat the fuck out of any of them, who would it be?
I think I'd probably, guess he's not really a boss.
You could say the rogues, or you could say anybody. It's your fucking episode, B-Horse. Change the script. Who would you hang out with, and who would you beat the fuck out of?
You know, I'd kind of want to hang out with Lightkeeper. He's a mysterious guy. And he's got those nice digs up there.
He's got the shared bedroom key. Like, the guy's got it made.
Yeah. And then, you know, you've got Tegilla and Killa. Those guys suck. Yeah, they never show up when you want them to.
And when they do, they rush you when you're not ready. Like, I have a Mosin. Yeah. Fuck off. Like, go away.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, B-Horse, in gaming as a whole, what is your all-time favorite game? Like, if you had any system available to you, or any game on a PC that you could play with no restraint, what game, past or present, would it be?
Ocarina of Time.
Oh, such a fucking classic. So, what about that game spoke to you as a kid? Was it just, like, the first game you really, like, let yourself get into? Or were you just always a fan of the Zelda Link, like, saga?
I always enjoyed Legend of Zelda. But I think having, like, a full 3D massive world game where you feel, like, more immersed in that game was just...
Oh. Like, the moment you get the horse... And you're like, I can do what? I can go where?
Ride this horse?
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. It's fucking like mind-blown up. And it's such high highs. And that game has very little low lows. Except for the water temple, because that one sucks. And the fucking owl who never shuts the goddamn up. I hate that fucking owl. Like, you push A to get through all his voice lines, and then he's like, oh, you want me to repeat all that shit again? It's like, no! And then you
accidentally say yes, and you're like, no!
You got to do it all again. And it's just pain. Yeah, that shit was amazing. That game was awesome. Ever since from the death of the great Dooku tree to fucking sticking a sword up Ganondorf's ass, like, that whole game is just fucking awesome from start to finish. Now, did you have a favorite level in that game, or was it just the whole experience that spoke to you?
I think it's just the whole experience, really.
Now, did you have a temple that held you up for a long time? Did you get stuck in any spot?
I think just like everyone else in the world, the Water Temple.
Fuck that place. That place is the trap house of the Legends of Zelda.
All my homies hate the Water Temple.
That place can get fucked, man. I wouldn't fuck the Water Temple with a stolen dick and someone else pushing. That place is terrible. So, what game is the worst game you've ever played? If you can remember, like, did you ever spend money on a game, start it up, and immediately have buyer's regret?
Oh, man. That's tough. I mean, fairly recently, I think I bought GTA 5 recently, and then, like, we immediately got, like, swarmed by hackers, and then I just uninstalled it and refunded it on Steam. Like, that was just the worst experience. So I was so mad.
There was a game that was ruined for you by hackers, GTA 5.
Yeah, yeah.
That game has such good role-playing potential. Now, did you get that game with hopes of doing role-play, or what was your hopes for that game?
We were gonna just, like, you know, play with some friends and do a little, like, multiplayer mission type stuff and just goof around. We had our own private lobby and everything, and then...
Nice, and then it got destroyed. So, my game of absolute buyer's remorse was the goddamn Oregon Trail remake. I bought this game $30, and I was like, it's nostalgic, it'll be fun. I played it, I got to Oregon, and... When you get to Oregon, they don't do shit, B-Horse. They literally just stand together and they jump up in the sky like Anchorman, and that's it. That's the payoff. That's you got to Oregon. There's nothing else in between. The hunting is stupid in that game. Like, you know how the old one, you just had a crosshair and you had to, like, shoot what you could shoot? This one is, like, a really lame directional thing. You can fish, and the fishing's broken. You can just get unlimited money if you fish correctly, and then you haggle and you sell the fish. You can just get all the best shit. Once you figure that out, your guys are pretty much invincible. So the game's broken, like, immediately. It's $30, and it's literally like a walking simulator. And it's so boring watching your people walk. They add animals to the background that randomly come on your screen where if you click on them, you get XP points that go towards nothing. It's like, why am I clicking on these fucking birds? Oh, a fox. Let me click on that. It's just the dumbest. Like, I'm fucking angry right now. And that's because I drank a bunch of Balls Guerrera thinking about this game and how fucking angry I was. But yeah, that was my latest moment. Don't buy this fucking game. It's not worth $30. It's worth maybe $5, maybe $10. But $30, fuck no. Cash grabbing pieces of shit.
For real.
Yeah. If I was on B-Reel, that would be my B-Reel right there. I'd be going off on an Oregon Trail. So B-Horse, I wanted to get on to this topic, and this was a good caveat. So B-Reel, tell us a little bit about B-Reel. Tell us a little bit about the app and your relationship with it.
Yes, Be Real. Actually, before I get into Be Real, I apologize. This is a good little like break here.
Oh yeah, go ahead. Go pee. Do what you gotta do.
I need to pee pee.
Go pee pee. Come let me know when you're back and we'll continue.
All right.
Hey, he's back. Okay, so
I'm back. So the saga of Be Real. All right, so my relationship with Be Real, it started back during one of the creators club subathons.
Okay.
And I think it was Omid that was on Be Real at the time and introduced it to Decky and Hexloom. And so you're like, oh yeah, everybody join this app, blah blah blah. And then now it's become this thing where it pops up. And I need to do it.
So for those of the people out there who might be listening who don't know what Be Real is, can you give us a short rundown of what Be Real is?
Yeah, so at a random point in the day, this notification shows up on your phone, says, hey, it's time to be real. And you have to click it, and it pulls up your camera, and it takes a picture with your front-facing camera, and it takes a picture of the back camera.
Is this like Duolingo? Does it yell at you if you don't be real for a while? It's like, what the fuck, man?
No.
I thought you were the real one.
No, so it'll you won't be able to look at other people's B-reels. Like, you have to be real to look at other people's B-reels.
Man, that's the realest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, so, like, if I'm on the toilet or something like that, like, I'm going to take a picture of my feet and then, like, my face.
I mean, if you're taking a shit,
and then everybody knows I'm taking a shit, so...
What's more real than that, man? What's more real than
right?
That? You're on a hot date. Hold on. I got to be real for a second. It's just a picture. It's not like a recording. Like, it's not you saying anything.
No, it's just like a picture. That's all it is.
That's actually awesome. I wasn't sure if it was just a picture or like a recorded message. It's like, oh, I got a vent for a second on Be Real. Hold up. So with Be Real, what is the funniest thing you've encountered on that site?
Oh. So it's all people that I follow and they follow me, right? I think there was like a day where like four or five of us all just like were on the toilet posting our B-reels all at the same time. And everybody gets their notification at the same time. So it's not like I get mine and then 2 hours later you get yours.
So is this how you found out that all the guys you went to India with had diarrhea from the McDonald's? Like, dude, all their B-reels are in the fucking toilet, bro.
No. I mean, this was fairly recently.
It just happened to all line up. Like, randomly, all the planets will align and randomly all your friends will be taking fucking dumps at the time they're B-Reel activates.
I mean, what's more real than that?
Nothing. Nothing is more real than that, B-Reel. Except for, maybe, taking a shit on the side of a restaurant wall near the entrance.
Also true.
Also
yes.
true. So, B-Horse, if you could make B-Real better in any way, what would it be? If you could, like, if you had the B-Real people's ear, what would you recommend for them?
Ooh, I want to add, like a 10-second clip or something, like video clip. Instead of only stills, like a 10-second video clip.
That would actually be pretty fucking awesome. I would
like let me show you what like 10 seconds of my day looks like at any random point in the day.
So with Be Real, it's like you have to be real every single time to access other people's stuff at that same time. You can't, like, you're not good for a week if you do one, right? It's just like that day or nothing.
Yeah, pretty much.
So maybe if you could like pay it forward with like a 10-second video, I'd be like, all right, you did a video, you're good for 3 days, you know, give you some.
Oh no, you gotta do a video tomorrow too. Or you can just do a picture. But like having that option to do one or the other would be cool.
Imagine if YouTube operated like that, be like, hey man, you haven't uploaded shit in a minute, so you're not watching nothing. You know that you wanted to watch fucking YouTube, you wanted to watch fucking Elton John's Candle in the Wind, get fucked. Upload something, and then you can't. Or Twitch, be like, you haven't been live in a hot minute. You want to watch somebody? Put something out.
Too damn bad.
Too damn bad, Grandpa.
Tired of digging, Grandpa.
Oh my God, that's probably the most accurate military thing I can think of. It's just like, I'm tired of doing this shit. Well, that's too damn bad. You got 2 years left on your contract. Oh man. So B-Horse.
It's
all of the fun shit in the content creation realm. I'm sure you've met a lot of people, a lot of great people who may put out a lot of different kinds of content. Now, if you could work with a project, whether it be a subathon, a tipathon, a fucking charity event, you name it, or even just a co-stream, if you could work with anybody in the realm of content creation who you haven't worked with yet, who would it be? That's a hard question. There's so many people.
That is very difficult. There are some things coming up in the year, but I think doing a lot more like charity stuff, I think, would be really cool.
Now, do you have a charity in mind?
I think that. So I've done stuff in the past with Peepaw, with Stack Up. So we've done that.
Great guy, great org.
Yeah, amazing people over there on that side. But there's always a special place in my heart for sick kids. So. Oh,
yeah, how could there not be, you know? It's just one of those things, so especially when you're a parent. Like, it opens up that so much more.
So I would definitely do that.
So, follow-up question. If you could make anyone on the planet download Be Real and be able to view their Be Reels at any time, what celebrity or what person out there in the world did you pick?
Oh, man, I want to see Alex Jones' Be Reels.
Oh, my God.
I want to see what that guy's doing at any given point in the day.
I want Hunter Biden's Be Real. I want to see what he's getting into.
I don't know about that, dude. I'm going to get subpoenaed if we do that.
Well, this is all, you know, this is all, you know, no potential ramifications. This is all very, like, don't look at me, FBI. Don't look at me, CIA. This is all fucking... What's the word I'm looking for? Fakies, you know? This is all
it's just a prank. Fiction. It's just a prank, bro.
Yeah, don't worry about it. But I think that guy lives the life. It's like, oh, he's smoking crack at 3 a.m. What a fucking G.
I mean, he's living something. I don't know if it's a life, but he's living something.
He's doing something. If it wasn't him, I would have picked Toronto's mayor before he died, Rob Ford. The guy who's that guy would have been my guy, but he's dead.
I forgot all about that guy.
Everybody did. They're barely making a movie about him on Netflix, or a Netflix series about him and his life.
Really?
Yeah, it's gonna be a fever dream. I can't wait to watch that. So So B-Horse, we already asked some pretty difficult questions, so I think we have to continue on this track of difficult questions. If you could fight any content creator in a foam ball pit at a TwitchCon, who would it be? And with the side knowledge that if you fall in the foam pit, you might break your entire back.
Yeah, I don't want to break my back. I think I could take Decky. I know he's squirrely, but I think I could take Decky. He is squirrely.
And he's in the best shape of his life now, running all these marathons and climbing fucking
mountains.
Coming
off the marathon, yeah. I think I could take Decky. So we'll see at TwitchCon if maybe I can...
I had my money that you were going to say Orby, because everyone's always joking that Orby is, like, broken.
I mean, I would never do that to Orby. I think it's bad to, like, beat up an elderly citizen, you know?
I mean, AARP would be upset.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a good answer. So, TwitchCon 2023. Now, yeah. For this experience, are you planning it out already? Are you going to fly? Are you going to drive? Like, are you starting to put
the
pieces together?
I'll definitely be flying.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know exactly where you're at, but you're probably pretty far away from Nevada, so flying makes sense on that. Now, is there anything that you're excited to, like, do particularly in Vegas? Have you been to Vegas before?
I have been to Vegas before. Probably play blackjack. That's probably about it. And then just hanging out with homies.
Nice. You know?
I missed last year's TwitchCon. We had a hurricane here, so I had to stay back and take care of some stuff back here.
Same. I also missed out on TwitchCon last year, and I was upset because I'm in California. I'm just 6 hours north of San Diego.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, next year I'll be back in San Diego. And then like, nah, not really, nerds. So now I'm going to drive out because I want to have my car there. So yeah, maybe we'll meet up at TwitchCon. That'll be fucking fun.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Looking forward to playing some blackjack and putting some faces to the names of the people that either watch or come in and watch the podcast or, you know, somewhere on Twitch. So my question to you is, have you met anybody from the Twitchverse in person? And well, if so,
no.
What was it like? Oh, no. Okay.
No.
Are you excited to?
I am. Yeah. I think it would be really cool to meet like Peepaw and Zoopy and Dirty Bussy and all the people that have kind of influenced me and given me some sort of direction as far as like content goes.
That feeds very well into my next question. So from somebody who's, you know, doing the content thing, streaming, thinking about making long form content, what would be your best piece of advice for somebody who's like, you know, starting out and is learning the ropes and is having difficulty or is afraid of certain things? Like, what would be your best piece of advice for the fledgling streamer, the fledgling content creator? What would you say?
I think the biggest thing is don't get in your own head. Not everyone's going to like the things that you make, but that doesn't mean that someone doesn't like what you make.
That's a very good piece of advice, because it's like, no, like there's so many people on the platform, and definitely not everybody's going to like what you have to put out there. And sometimes people are very bad with taking negative criticism. They can take that to a place of like, everybody hates what I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you can get two bad comments, but you get that one good comment where you're like, oh man, this guy likes what I do.
Right. And that makes all the difference at the end of the day. So for somebody who makes stuff and puts stuff out there, do you find yourself being hypercritical of the stuff you put out?
Oh, definitely.
How do you get past that mental block? Or is it just there and you just learn to deal with it?
You just learn to deal with it, honestly. Like, you know, if you have the opportunity to just like send it to people and be like, hey, you want to watch this and like tell me what you think of it? You know, get someone else's opinion on it.
100%.
That's another way.
So, my next question to you is, out of all the people in the content creation realm, out of all the people who put stuff out, like, there's a level of, like, respect that is gained and a little, you know, peer and all that other stuff. Now, when you get notifications of certain things, is there anybody in particular that likes your stuff and you're like, I did something right because so-and-so liked that? And if you don't want to answer that, it's totally fine.
Not really. No.
Totally.
I mean, there's more like, not so much in like the sense of like, YouTube like side of things, but like if I'll tweet something out, like there's people that'll like it, and I'm like, oh wow, I it's actually like made a funny tweet or something,
right? Because this person's a little guarded with their likes, and I earned one kind of thing, yeah. You know. I hear you on that. So, B-Horse, we've covered a lot today. Everything from food to military to being fucking real and the Fast and the Furious. So, with that being said, now is your time to say whatever it is you want to say. Whether you want to thank somebody, whether you want to give a shout-out to somebody like a mod, plug something like a subathon, or a charity event, or just to simply tell me to go fuck myself. Now's your time to say whatever it is B-Horse has on his mind. And just remember, gotta be real.
All right, to be real with you guys, don't get in your own heads too much. I started streaming, started coming around Twitch in a very difficult time in my life, and I think that I've grown as a person. I've learned a lot, and it's helped me tremendously. I've met a bunch of amazing people. So if you're ever just like worried about if you can do it or not, just do it. I don't think you're going to regret it.
Right.
That's really it, man.
That's really well said. Oh, I have a follow-up that I forgot to ask earlier. I try to ask everybody about this because it's something that I think needs to be more in the forefront, especially for new people who may be listening. So the mental game of streaming is, it's very taxing. It's a very taxing thing, especially when you're constantly putting yourself out there. And, you know, sometimes people come in and they shit on you, or sometimes people come in and they give you like a good job, mate. Like it goes either way. What would be your best advice for somebody who's navigating those ups and downs of the streaming world? Or, you know, somebody puts a fucking veteran hashtag and then has somebody come through with like, you know, the untasteful things people say in those particular, like, you know what I'm talking about, the hate raid people. So
So there's a couple different ways you can do that, right? So one, the people that come in and they're just a bunch of shitters, their opinion doesn't mean a goddamn thing. They're pixels on a screen, like, and it's some person that's a whole lot sadder than you are. So like for them to come in and take the time out of their day to make you try and feel bad, like that's pretty pathetic on their part.
I would agree 100% on that.
So pay them no mind. And then if you feel like you're worn thin and you need to take a break, take a break. No shame in that as well.
Well said, because I know so many people feel like they have to trudge on, like, I have to keep the consistency and I have to do this, this, and that. But if you're not feeling up to it, like, it's people are going to know when you don't want to be there. People are going to know when something's wrong, especially for the people who tune in all the time. They're going to notice those differences.
Right. Yeah, so just, you know, take the time off. Go get a pedicure or something.
Yeah, go get a fucking mani-pedi. Go to McDonald's. Pray you don't get food poisoning. And tune into the next goddamn episode of Castle Comms. With that said, I'm the fucking eighth at nobody. Today, we've had the immense pleasure of talking to B-Horse, Biannual Horse, the B-Real Master himself. And with that said, why don't you go out and smoke and or touch some grass? And we'll catch you next time on the comms. Unless you're in the military, then don't touch or smoke the grass. Just do what you're told and don't get in trouble. Don't get caught. Peace out.